What if there was no resurrection of Christ? Where would that leave us? Pastor John Randall entertains that question next.
There's no reason to gather for worship on Wednesdays or Sundays or Saturdays or any other day of the week for that matter. There's no reason to have any evangelistic efforts. There's no reason to give to missions or to go on to the mission field. Without the resurrection, the good news is bad news. To preach Jesus is to preach the resurrection, for the very power of the gospel is found in the resurrection, and without it, you have nothing more than a meaningless, hopeless idea. Preaching is pointless if there's no resurrection.
What if Jesus died and remained in the grave? We're going to thoughtfully consider that question today on A Daily Walk. We continue looking at the resurrection and what it means to us as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 34, we'll discover if there's no resurrection, our faith is empty and our preaching is also empty. In fact, if there's no resurrection, we're liars, still in our sins, with no hope. Talk about some serious ramifications. To tell us more, here's Pastor John Randall.
1 Corinthians 15 this morning, beginning in verse 12, if you would follow along with me as I read from God's word. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, well, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ isn't risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. By this time, you are well aware of the fact that the purpose of the epistle to the Corinthians was to straighten out some of the problems within the church. Some of those problems were personal. There were those who were fighting, dividing, and breaking off into various groups, siding with their favorite teachers. And thus, the Apostle Paul sought to be a peacemaker by reminding them to look to Jesus and not to man. Then there were other problems that occurred that were doctrinal due to the influence of Greek philosophy, as well as the false teachers who were preaching heresy. The Corinthians were confused about some major doctrinal issues, one of which was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Therefore, in chapter 15, the apostle devotes 58 verses to both the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of those who believe in Jesus. At the beginning of the chapter, Paul presented the evidence for the resurrection by first of all pointing to the Old Testament scriptures that clearly and undeniably predicted and prophesied the resurrection. Secondly, he pointed to the eyewitness accounts of Christ's resurrection. These included his own personal testimony that he had on the road to Damascus, also the testimony of the apostles, and the testimony of over 500 witnesses at one time. By presenting the evidence, Paul had not only demonstrated that the resurrection was factual, but also that it was essential. For without the resurrection of Jesus, there would be no gospel message at all. The message that Paul preached and the message that the Corinthians believed in centered around the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's why in verse 12 it says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead?" The point is that the Corinthians did actually believe in Christ's resurrection and that he was presently alive. So if they believed and confess Christ's resurrection, Paul is saying, how can you now say that there is no resurrection from the dead while at the same time claiming to believe that Jesus was alive from the dead? It's inconsistent. It doesn't make any sense. And so to clear up the confusion among the Corinthians, what Paul is going to do is he's going to state hypothetically the theological consequences if Jesus did not rise. Seven ifs. If Jesus did not rise, this would be the results. And the first is, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our Redeemer has not risen. In verse 13, it says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. That is the first and most obvious point. If there's no resurrection, that would mean Jesus wasn't alive. Now, there were some non-believers and false teachers who tried to get around the death of Jesus by saying Jesus wasn't really human. He was only divine. And they stated that he really didn't die. Of course, that false notion denies everything that the gospel writers presented for the evidence of Jesus' physical death as well as his physical bodily resurrection. You remember that the Apostle Paul opened his letter in writing to the Romans in chapter 1 by citing both the humanity of Jesus as well as the deity of Jesus. In Romans 1, Paul said this, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. That speaks of his humanity. And declared to be the Son of God. That points to his deity. With power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. His humanity and his deity alongside of one another. The theological term for this is the incarnation, where God became flesh. The Word of God dwelt among us, the Bible says. The Word became flesh. The incarnation of Christ, a mystery, but a powerful truth. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos and confirmed his death and his resurrection when he said this, I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. There were those denying the physical death of Jesus Christ and thus denying his resurrection, and yet the Bible affirms it over and over. And there have not only been false teachers and heretical teachings in the past, but even more to the present. There have been those who have suggested that Jesus didn't die and thus he really didn't rise from the dead, and they present various theories, one of which was known as the swoon theory. And the swoon theory is the belief that Jesus didn't die at his crucifixion, but he was merely unconscious. And then he was laid in the tomb where he resuscitated. Yet there are several problems with that theory. It's invalid and can easily be disproven. There are at least three different persons or groups involved in Jesus' crucifixion that were all satisfied and verified his actual death on the cross. The Roman guards, for one thing, who were experts in execution, as well as Pilate and also the Sanhedrin. There was a woman that wrote to Dr. J. Vernon McGee concerning the swoon theory. She said, Dr. McGee, our preacher said that on Easter, Jesus swooned on the cross and the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? To which he replied, dear sister, beat your preacher with a leather whip with 39 heavy strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through his heart, embalm him, and put him in an airless tomb for 3 days, and then see what happens. Folks, if there is no resurrection, then our Redeemer hasn't risen. But the second devastating result, if there's no resurrection, is that preaching is pointless. For he says in verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. If there's no reality of the resurrection, there's no reason for any person to fill any pulpit anywhere. There's no reason to gather for worship on Wednesdays or Sundays or Saturdays or any other day of the week for that matter. There's no reason to have any evangelistic efforts. There's no reason to give to missions or to go on to the mission field. Without the resurrection, the good news is bad news. To preach Jesus is to preach the resurrection, for the very power of the gospel is found in the resurrection. And without it, you have nothing more than a meaningless, hopeless idea. Preaching is pointless if there's no resurrection. The third result, not only our Redeemer hadn't risen, and preaching is pointless, but thirdly, Paul makes mention that faith would be futile. For in verse 14, it says, and your faith is also empty. The word empty means void of effect. It means to have no purpose. There is no reason, if there's no resurrection, to believe in Jesus, to believe in the Bible, or to believe in heaven without the resurrection. Faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, would be unnecessary because there would be no substance and nothing to be hoped for if there's no resurrection. We wouldn't be saved by grace through faith. We wouldn't be justified by faith. We wouldn't walk by faith and not by sight without a resurrection. Faith would not come by hearing, nor hearing by the word of God. We would not be able to overcome the world through our faith. And there'd be no reason to live a godly life if there was no resurrection. The hall of faith in Hebrews 11 that lists all of the great heroes of the Old Testament would be called the hall of the foolish if they lived by faith. If there was no resurrection, the Redeemer hadn't risen, preaching would be pointless, faith would be futile. And number four, preachers are liars. For it says in verse 15, yes, and we, Paul speaking of himself and his colleagues, and we are found false witnesses of God because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen. Paul carries out this logic unsympathetically when he says, if Jesus is dead, that would mean the message concerning Jesus is also dead, and faith is dead, and those who are preaching the dead message that Jesus is alive are nothing more than charlatans and liars leading people astray. The apostles would not have been considered honest men or godly men, but rather deceivers. They wouldn't just be considered mistaken or wrong, but liars. Regardless of their moral exhortations that they give that are found within the scriptures, helpful passages that you could take to yourself, it would all be for nothing if Jesus isn't alive. The men that wrote the scriptures, it wouldn't matter what they said. You could drop your Bible in the trash on your way out today if there's no resurrection from the dead and never pick it back up again. But you could take it a step further, and Jesus himself wouldn't have been truthful or honest or a good moral teacher, for he claimed that he would rise from the dead, and if he didn't, then that makes him worse than a liar. If these consequences were not devastating enough, Paul goes on in verse 17 to cite that our sins would be unatoned for without the resurrection. In verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. If Jesus isn't alive, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then that means that we are still dead in our trespasses and sins. It means that the wages of sin is still death that we will receive. It's going to be measured out upon us. It means that the wrath of God that we deserve will be poured out. We're still separated from God, and we would be separated from God for all of eternity if Jesus did not rise, and then sin had been victorious over the supposed Savior, and we would be lost. Folks, listen carefully. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead was the proof that the sacrifice of Jesus was acceptable on our behalf. The resurrection proves that the Father accepted the payment for the penalty of our sin. Had the sacrifice not been accepted, had Jesus not been the sinless, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, then Jesus would have never emerged on that first resurrection Sunday morning. You remember in the Old Testament that when the priest, the high priest, would offer atonement for the sins of the nation on the day of Yom Kippur, he would go in wearing his linen garments. He would pass through the veil that separated the holy place from the holiest of all places. And he would have the blood of the lamb that was to be sprinkled all around upon the mercy seat within the holiest of all places. If he was ungodly, if he was unholy, He would die in the presence of the Lord and be dragged out by a rope that was tied around him. The only way that the people on the outside knew whether or not their sins were atoned for, whether they were actually forgiven, was when the high priest passed back through the veil, came out and appeared to all the people with those linen garments, with the blood that was sprinkled upon them, and declared that the people were forgiven. The only way they knew that they were forgiven is if he came out and they knew that their sins were atoned for. In the same way, our great high priest, as the book of Hebrews refers to Jesus, wrapped in linen garments, came out on the third day, rose from the dead, which proves and testifies to the fact that our sins have been truly forgiven. Without the resurrection, our Redeemer wouldn't have risen. Preaching is pointless. Faith, it's futile, it's pointless. Preachers are liars. Sin is unatoned for. But number six, we would be eternally lost. For in verse 18, it says, then also all who have fallen asleep, which is just another term for died in Christ, have perished. Every Old Testament saint, lost. Every New Testament believer, perished. Every person who has ever walked the aisle, every person who's ever prayed a prayer to receive Christ for salvation, anybody who's died in faith believing that there was heaven, every relative who trusted in Christ for salvation, listen, without the resurrection of Jesus, they are all unforgiven and all eternally lost forever. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But John 3:16 is invalid, and the promise wouldn't be true if Jesus hadn't risen. All would perish. None would have everlasting life and eternity in heaven. Paul then sums up what would be the sad reality and the consequences for those who believed in a resurrection if it did not, in fact, take place. In number seven, he says, we would be considered a pitiful people. And I would say not only pitiful, but pathetic. For in verse 19, it says, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If this is all a lie, if the resurrection isn't true, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then people should feel bad for us. They should pity us. You probably are familiar with this. Maybe you've seen it in maybe a family member, or you're aware of this illness, mental illness, through various forms. And when someone is stricken with mental illness, or gets up later in life and succumbs to Alzheimer's, or whatever the fact may be, however it manifests itself, when you see someone living in a reality that isn't reality, or you see them talking to people that don't really exist or aren't really there, or seeing things that no one else sees, they're not in their right mind, how does that affect your heart? You pity them. You feel bad for them. They don't recognize the people they should recognize. You understand how this goes. It's painful. It's hard to watch. And you pity them. But far worse and more pitiful would be those who have sacrificed their lives for the sake of the gospel, if there is no gospel. How pathetic it would be to believe in something that wasn't real, if it wasn't real. How pitiful to pray prayers to one who couldn't hear you. What a miserable, wasted existence of life that would be if there's no reality of the resurrection. But thankfully this morning, we are not left to ponder nor dwell on what might have been. For when you pass from verse 19 to verse 20, you go from the darkest clouds to the brightest sunlight, from the deepest depths of depression to the heights of unparalleled glory. This place of absolute hopelessness to a blessed living hope, from eternal death to eternal life. For Paul declares in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And he has become the first fruits of those who have died. Paul moves now from the hypothetical statements of the previous paragraph noted in seven ifs and turns to absolute certainties. Now that I know that Jesus is alive, I know that my Redeemer has risen. I know that preaching isn't pointless. I know that my faith isn't futile. I know that preachers aren't liars. I know that my sins are atoned for. I know that I'm not eternally lost, and I'm not a pitiful person because Jesus is alive from the dead. Amen? Amen. Now that we know that Jesus is alive, consider what we have to look forward to. For one thing, because Jesus has risen from the dead, listen carefully, we too shall rise from the dead. When Paul uses the word here, first fruits was a Jewish feast that was held early in spring at the beginning of the grain harvest. It was the third day after Passover and the second day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. First fruits was a time of thanksgiving for God's provision. Leviticus 23 describes for us the first fruit offerings. The people would bring a sheaf of grain to the priest, who would then wave it before the Lord. There would be a burnt offering, a meal offering, a drink offering that were also required at this time. Deuteronomy chapter 26 in the first 10 verses gives even more detail to the procedure that took place on the day of first fruits. Now, no grain was to be harvested until the first fruits was offered to the Lord, according to Leviticus 23. And when the people dedicated their first fruit offering to the Lord, it was a way of thanking God for what he had provided, and it was also an anticipation of a harvest that was to come. They would thank God for the first fruits, and they would rejoice in the anticipation of the harvest that would follow the first fruits. In the New Testament, the first fruit offering is mentioned some seven times and always symbolically. The first fruits offering found its fulfillment in Jesus. For just like, listen carefully, just like the Hebrew people offered their first fruits unto the Lord, it would signify the first installment of the harvest. So too, Jesus was the first installment of the resurrection and signified the rest of the harvest of resurrection that would follow. And who is a part of that resurrection to follow? We are. Us.
Thankfully, Jesus did rise from the dead, and because he lives, we can too. Today on A Daily Walk, we considered, what if there is no resurrection? It's a question posed in 1 Corinthians 15. And if you'd like to hear this message from John Randall again, please call us right now, toll free at 877-242-0828. Again, that's 877-242-0828. CD copies are available for a cost of $5. Go online to adailywalk.org and have a listen when it's most convenient. We also have a podcast, and you'll find A Daily Walk Radio on Apple Podcasts. You might also want to download our free app. This is a great way to watch Pastor John's messages on your TV or handheld devices. It's available on Google Play, Amazon, Apple TV, and Roku. Just do a search for CCSJC. With all that's going on in our world right now, there's an increased interest in prophecy. And so we're pleased to offer you Pastor John's entire study of Revelation right now on a reusable USB flash drive. Here's a preview.
We often think of the book of Revelation containing nothing but death and destruction and suffering and judgment. Yet in reality, Revelation actually contains blessings designed to provide hope and encouragement to believers concerning the future.
Again, that's Pastor John's latest study of Revelation on a reusable USB flash drive. The cost is just $20 for the entire series. And remember, anything given above that amount will help us remain a biblical voice on this station, as we are listener supported. You can reach us toll-free at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. You can also order resources and donate online safely and securely at adailywalk.org. Here at Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano, our supreme desire is to know Christ and to be conformed into His image by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to invite you to watch our services live online. You can now watch all of our services on lightsource.com or through our website at calvarysjc.com. Well, our time together sure goes by quickly, doesn't it? We'll pick up where we left off in 1 Corinthians next time. This has been A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, where you'll never have to walk alone.